מהות הדת ומטרתה בכתבי בעל הסולם.
The essence of religion and its purpose in Kabbalah for the student, page 56.
עמוד 399 בכתבי בעל
הסולם. Page 56 in Kabbalah for the student, article The essence of religion and its purpose. We are reading in two paths, a path of pain and a path of Torah.
אנחנו חוזרים לטור א' באמצע, כותרת השגחה.
We're going back to his guidance is purposeful guidance. Previous page. His guidance is purposeful guidance. By observing nature's systems, we understand that any being of the four types, still, vegetative, animate, and speaking, as a whole and in particular, are found to be under purposeful guidance, meaning a slow and gradual growth by way of cause and effect, as a fruit on a tree, which is guided with favorable guidance to finally become sweet, a sweet and fine-looking fruit. Go and ask a botanist how many phases the fruit undergoes from the time it becomes visible until it is completely ripe. Not only do its preceding phases show no evidence of its sweet and fine-looking end, but as if to vex, they show the opposite of the final outcome.
Why? Why? Workshop question.
Huh? אתה יכול לקרוא שוב.
You can read it again.
וצנה, אז שוב אנחנו בפסקה שנייה.
Again, we're in the second paragraph. Go and ask a botanist how many phases the fruit undergoes from the time it becomes visible until it is completely ripe. Not only do its preceding phases show no evidence of its sweet and fine-looking end, but as if to vex, they show the opposite of the final outcome.
Question is clear, right? Why? Something that develops during its time of development, it has forms which are, let's say, despicable or repulsive or opposite from the good, positive, desired state which he achieves in the end. Is that clear, Niv? The question is clear, but the answer isn't. Why not? I'll tell you the answer. If you would see a little apple on the tree, and it's nice and sweet, then you wouldn't let it grow. You would eat it immediately, right?
So
maybe that's why it's bitter.
No.
Go on.
טוב, אז רב באמת נתן עכשיו רמז.
רב really gave a hint. Now it's more clear. Perhaps there is a higher goal than what we can imagine right now, to eat this tiny apple. But if it were sweet, we would probably snatch it from the tree and eat it, and we would never discover a more purposeful goal that is right now concealed from us.
Yep, that every created being, every creature in this development needs to go through these stages, and he needs to be allowed to go through these stages, both of corruption as well, because from that the good state is revealed, the correct state. When you go and you deviate to different directions until the correct direction is scrutinized.
I have nothing to add.
The fruit itself, before it's ripe, and we start working with it, then we get discernments, actually, with respect to what is the correct goal. Our current towards our current state. So the actions we do now aren't the correct actions. They're in order to receive. So we need that feeling of bitterness. It's not the correct action, so we'll have some kind of reference in order to come to something that's correct.
Maybe in the spiritual work, so we don't fall into the will to receive before we were ripened with a screen and an ability to handle pleasure, meaning we can't touch something before placing the correct intention over it.
Rav, what helps us when we constantly discover incorrected aspects which are corrupted more and more and more, or less and less and less, because we're advancing, we're correcting something? Or does what we correct only enable us to see more corruptions? What is the form of advancement? Go ahead.
First of all, it ensures development, meaning that no one can stay indifferent to corrupt states. He can be relaxed and dissatisfied and not advanced from sweet states, but by discovering states that are less and less and less, providence ensures our advancement towards that goal.
To tie that to the greatness of the Creator, you could say that the greatness of the Creator is with respect to the lowliness of the created being. So if that's the way it is, in order to discover the greatness of the Creator, you need to discover the lowliness of it, of the created being.
It reminded me of Lawrence's question about an hour ago, that why is the Creator taking away from you? Even if you think you're in the right direction, when you pray and you ask for the friend, seemingly, why he's lowering you from that state? In order to show you all the places where it doesn't exist in you yet, where your intention is not corrected.
Right, and every time we get newer discernments, more discernments towards what the correct action is, how it's done, and where we already have a feeling that, yes, we're in the right direction. So it isn't necessarily so. We're always given more room for work. And it's possible that this precision is very, very, it's very subtle. But from our behalf, it really influences this end image.
It helps us because it points us towards when it's correct to be corrected. If we didn't have that discernment, we wouldn't advance. It's impossible to find any other way to grow something except for to show him where is the corruption and ask him, and for him to invite the correction on it.
It also helps us that it's gradual form, that we're not correcting it in one go, but it enables us richness of the kli. There are many corruptions, thank God, but according to what Kabbalists have found, upon them all there'll be corrections. And if we couldn't discover so many discernments, if not through this gradual form,
yeah, and gradual means with respect to a higher level of difficulty. That's why it's called work. If it would become easier, it wouldn't be called work. But specifically, when we're shown forms that are more corrupt, against that, we're forced to search for greater greatness of the Creator.
According to what I hear, where nothing is revealed to us if we can't work with it. So we need to remember that from above, where no obstacles are given to us to fail us, but the Creator gives us what we can correct.
So it turns out that the corruptions we see is the measurement for advancement. The fact that we notice it, we feel the difficulty to feel the greatness of the Creator, to work for the friends with the whole heart and not in order to receive, and many discernments throughout the lesson that we talked about.
Rav, so how can we imagine, how can we depict what will be with us through developing in Be'ito in its due time, or in developing in Achishena, in the accelerated path, let's say in 6 months from now, in a certain period of time? If we learn the plan of creation, the process, and everything, then what's the problem? What's according to Achishena? What's according to Bito? Our state in 6 months from now, for example, it could be a few months or a few weeks or a year. We're not talking about it. We're talking about the next state. You learned today about the Reshimot, how they pass on the info from one Pratzuf to the other. Okay, let's continue. In short, the more we advance, the more there are corrupted forms. Aren't there? You're saying that it's not true.
It turns out that it depends how you look at things.
No, I'm not talking about those who are in correction. And also for them, it's one with respect to the other. But in evolution, the more... evolution is advancement from generation to generation. Every next generation is more complex than the previous one? Yes. For good or for bad, what does it feel itself?
By itself, worse.
Right, worse, more confused on the one hand. On the other hand, we say that by that he prepares itself for a correction. He doesn't know that, but he is being prepared for a correction. That's why Baal HaSulam says that according to everything that we see, we're on the verge of correction. Something like that, he writes. What did you find quickly?
In the introduction to the preface to the Book of Zohar, item 63, in this generation, although the essence of the souls is the worst in all of reality, because they were not able to be sorted for sanctity. However, they are the ones that complete the partsuf of the world and the partsuf of the neshamot from the perspective of the vessels, and the work is not completed except by them. And now, when the vessels of Nehi are completed, and now all the vessels are present, Rosh, Toch, and Sof, in the partsuf, entire degrees of wholeness of the light are extended in the Rosh, Toch, and Sof to all those worthy for them, meaning complete Naran. Therefore, only with the qualification of those lower souls, the uppermost lights can be revealed and not beforehand.
Okay, is that all clear? Grisha.
With respect to Beito and Achishana, and its time and celebrated, can I ask about Beito and Achishana?
Yes.
According to how I understand, Beito, in its time, I did the work on time, not on time. I did it beforehand, and then I received the next degree. Is this Achishana?
Beito is according to the general plan of creation, that you are advanced according to this internal motor, this timer, that constantly releases these new states.
And Achishana, I shall hasten it, that I... ahead of time?
Yes, and hastening is that you work ahead of time.
So ahead of time I have to do work, and then they reveal to me the next Rishimo. That's the Chishana?
Right.
So Beito, I didn't do the work, the time came and they revealed to Rav Shimon who will do the work that I was supposed to do.
You come closer and you do the work through the sufferings.
It means that I'm getting into further debt. I didn't do it on time, but also in the future I'll have to do...
You will need to do all the work. The question is, do you discover and build the vessels with your exertion, or do you do it through your prior sufferings? But you will have to do it nevertheless, and it's a very big difference with respect to man that is forced to correction, that he himself is drawn to correction. That's a very big difference. But the end result is the same. Now, you can ask here, what does it mean that we'll sit and wait? What is there here? These advance like this, these advance like that. So these, through the sufferings, do everything. And those, through education and awakening, do it all. So what's the difference here? Well, there are many questions here, many questions. Because at the end of the day, the question is, why is there freedom of choice here? That it's not that I myself run to make corrections. No one runs to make corrections. Everyone is from the will to receive and not from the will to bestow. In what way exactly does part of these corrections, of this development from the path, from can we say that we are here in a point of freedom of choice and in self-correction, that we're causing it? What is this work? What is this work exactly in the point of Chazeh of Bina, the point of freedom of choice, the middle third part of Tiferet? Well, we'll talk about this. Now, we're first of all drawn to bestowal. Yes.
Can we just say that in Lolishma, the condemned, the corrupt forms that appear in externality and in Lishma are in internality?
Yes and no. The general picture. Well, I can't say that I don't have answers to what you're asking the way you're asking them. Because the general picture isn't like that. And to say this individually for a certain fragment, it's not exactly correct. Let's read it and find words.
We continue. Meaning, the sweeter the fruit is at its end, the more bitter and unsightly it is in the earlier phases of its development. And so it is with the animate and speaking types. For the beast, whose mind is little at its end, is not so wanting while it grows. Whereas man, whose mind is great at its end, is very wanting while developing. A day-old calf is called an ox. That is, it has the strength to stand on its own legs and walk, and the intelligence to avoid hazards on its way. But a day-old infant lies seemingly senseless. And should one who is not accustomed to the conduct of this world examine these two newborns, he would certainly conclude that the human infant will amount to nothing, and the calf will turn out to be a great hero, Napoleon. Meaning, if he were to judge by the wisdom of the calf compared to the senseless and mindless child. Thus, it is evident that his guidance over the reality that he has created is in the form of purposeful guidance, without taking into consideration the order of the phases of development, for they deceive us and prevent us from understanding their purpose, being always opposite to their final shape. It is about such matters that we say there is none so wise as the experienced. For only one who is experienced has the opportunity to examine creation in all its phases of development, all the way through completion, and can calm things down so as to not fear those spoiled images that the creation undergoes in its phases of its development, but believe in its fine and pure end. Thus, we have thoroughly shown the conduct of His providence in our world, which is only a purposeful guidance. And the attribute of goodness is not at all apparent before creation arrives at its completion, its final ripeness. On the contrary, it rather always takes a form of corruption in the eyes of the beholders. Thus you see that the Creator bestows upon His creatures only goodness, but that goodness comes by way of purposeful guidance.
It's clear, right? Questions about this? What's happening to you? What? You don't want to ask? There's some kind of resistance? Yes?
He's writing that he doesn't take into consideration the phases, but only the
final forms.
Yes. But nevertheless, there is a very distinct form of the phases of development.
They are opposite to the final form, because that same creature, the higher it will be, it needs to scrutinize and find and discover the opposite states of perfection.
But how can it be that every step is opposite from the final form? If it goes through a stage and it develops in a certain way, it's still opposite completely to the final goal. There has to be a percentage that is already similar to the final form.
Similar to the final form by being opposite. In other words, if you see these corrupted forms in your friend, then you should understand that this comes to you, it shines to him from his final form, and you need to justify him and to love him. Yes.
What can we take from the steps of development? What changes?
Everything changes. You just need to have patience, to work without paying attention to these forms that are along the way. That's how it is in all of life. In animate and vegetative, in everything. And towards humanity, if you look at it, to what it reveals, to what forms, what opposite forms of perfection, and this is all not telling you that it will reach the correct perfection. Peter.
If I imagine my next state in the ten is the losing of my individuality as a life which entire day I think of the friends. I'm anxious about their state. I'm grateful about their state. And that doesn't scare me. Is that bad? Does that mean that I don't imagine correctly my next state?
You don't need to imagine anything other than correction. Seeing the others together with you in correction, that's it. And when you are in the good connection and you're giving place for the Creator to be revealed, to give Him contentment, that's it, to be good kids. You don't need anything else other than that. And don't whine about not having corrupted states. Whenever it needs, you'll receive them. We have such examples from our history, from Rabbi Shimon and all of those, from all the different types. Also from the Hasids, from 300-400 years ago too, there are stories that are really, really juicy, that how evil was revealed and this and that. Okay, that's it. We're moving on. You want to ask something to the point or just next to Air Force? You're old already. Next to you. Go on quickly.
You said we have to imagine the state.
Imagine the good, corrected state, not the corrupted one. And to try and build it within the group.
Do we need to imagine it or ask about it?
Imagine it. To ask, of course, but first of all, what will you ask upon? First, try and build that state with the friends. Talk about it with the friends. How we succeed or not. What state we reach if we do succeed. What we would want to happen. Not just to fantasize, but something realistic. We have something that's along the way, right? That we want this form to be revealed between us. Let us all ask for it. If you do that, you'll see what a change there will be.
Baal Sulam here explains about the development of still vegetative. How it evolves in harmony. This apple, it grows, there's opposite of states, but it's in harmony.
It's vegetative. What's in it? No good inclination or bad. But because there is a person that needs to go through all these states, for that reason, the domem, tzomeachai, still vegetative and animate, the first, second, third part of the will to receive, they go through such states necessarily. Only because of a person needs to develop that way spiritually.
The question is, all those creatures, they don't suffer, they develop, that calf that is born. It doesn't suffer, it evolves not with suffering.
It has sufferings according to its degree.
Yeah, hungry, we got a blow, cold, hot. But his development is not through suffering. That's his Rishimo, and that is in its time. It doesn't suffer from it.
What do you mean it doesn't suffer from cold, from hot, from hunger? It suffers from all these kinds of things. You're suffering from your wife, from the police, I don't know who what, from your boss at work, and he suffers from this. So you have these additional sufferings.
His body develops just like our body. Cells in the body on the animate degree, they don't suffer. The cells don't fight with one another. There's harmony between them. Otherwise, I would be dead.
I don't understand what you're saying. Slowly, throughout history, mutual through evolution, you learn more and more how to cover up for these forms of still vegetative and animate that are within you, so you don't suffer from them. But accordingly, these negative forms, they're experienced through the degree of speaking, and you have greater suffering. In the past, we didn't suffer from having the lack of meaning of life, a purpose of life. No, I was in lack of eating something or wearing something. Look at the world 50 years ago. Everyone was worried about what to eat. Even 20, 30 years ago, they were concerned with how to dress like this or like that. Today, it's not even that anymore. You'll see how soon all these companies of fashion and all, how they'll fall.
They're already
falling, because the desire for it disappears. Even though it's so, especially for women, they have this, but still. So you give these deficiencies to a more spiritual level.
Meaning this evolution, if I understand correctly, this oppositeness is suffering. Again, I'm going back to that relationship between cells. Cells in my body, they support one another, and then the body exists. And we today, if I look at, we are parts of creation, we hate one another, we envy one another, like you said, police, your wife, all those other things. And that brings us to development?
Everything you said is incorrect. Also with respect to the cells. Also the cells in the body are constantly in a battle and constantly in conflict, seemingly on the degree of the animate. And every day millions of cells die and you are born and they have balance between connecting and distancing from one another. Everything is only on a different level of existence, but there is no difference between still vegetative, animate, and speaking, only the degrees of connection between the different foreign desires, and no more than that. And don't be confused that there everything is okay. If I would be now as a bird, I would have no problem. What do you mean you wouldn't have a problem? In the degree of a bird, you would also be filled with problems and concerns. No, that's incorrect. It all depends on the degree of the desire. Do you have something to read about that?
In the article, The Nation, Basram writes, there is nothing that won't pass under the iron law of the gradual evolution that comes as a result of these two forces that work together, the positive force, the constructing force, and the negative force, that meaning the destructive, denying force, and by their harsh, constant war with one another, they create and complement all of reality in each detail, each individual detail, that the negating force that appears in every state raises it to a state that's better than it. And in this way, the states follow one another until it reaches its complete wholeness.
Okay.
No.
Well.
There's the development that we're talking about from state to state. Each time you have a different state, a worse state, let's say. And there are states that are cyclical.
I don't know, guys. Don't ask me these details. He's talking in general. That's how we evolve. That's it. I don't want to hear about cycles or get into your history with all these things. No. And start interpreting this. No, there is none.
I'm not talking about my history. I'm saying that I was in one state, now I'm in another state. There are states that I feel that are repeating themselves.
It seems to you that they're repeating. They never repeat. No state repeats, but it's all through advancement. Like in a bicycle. It's called manners, or fanim. Yes, go on.
We're talking about evolution and Hishena and Beito. I have to admit, honestly, that as time passes, I notice that I don't control anything. States just go over me.
Because you're not finding that same place where you are in control, but you don't want to see it.
What do you mean I don't want to see it?
Very simple. You're controlling your thought every moment to be connected with none else besides Him.
Right.
You don't need anything more than that. All the rest other than this thought is awakened in order to give you to be closer to that same thought.
Okay, I like it. I want it. I don't want to lose it when I'm in it. But this concept of Achishena...
The rest all depends on the group. That's it, period. Everything depends on the group. If you don't have a group, everything we spoke about now will not take place. Only for a single moment will disappear, and that's it. All of becoming stronger with none else besides Him. With everything else that's around it depends only on the group, the environment. If there is this environment and you're in it with this none else besides Him, then it will happen. And if not, then everything is just air. Go on, pass it over here.
The question you wanted to, you gave us to depict the state in 6 months from now between Beito and Hishena. Can you say that there's no way to escape going through all those opposite states that he describes in the article?
Right.
It doesn't matter how we advance, but it all depends on our attitude towards those states that we're going through?
Of course, but according to that, you advance either in a short path and a short and positive path.
But what does it mean short? If we still go through all the negative states and you know you have to go through?
Yeah, because by that you save time until you get this blow and you overcome and etc.
Where is the time getting short? In my feeling, I feel less short, less suffer?
Time is a feeling.
I feel less suffering?
Well, let's say, try it and you'll see. It all depends on preparation. Okay, go on.
Two paths, a path of pain and a path of Torah. We have shown that God is the absolute good, and that He watches us in complete benevolence without a hint of evil, and in purposeful guidance. That means that His guidance compels us to undergo a series of phases by way of cause and effect, preceding and resulting, until we are qualified to receive the desired goodness. And then we shall arrive at our purpose as a ripe and fine-looking fruit. And we understand that this purpose is guaranteed for us all, or else you flaw His providence, saying it is insufficient for its purpose. Our sages said, divinity in the lower ones, a high need. This means that since His guidance is purposeful and aims to eventually bring us to adhesion with Him, so He would reside within us, this is then considered a high need, meaning if we do not come to that, we shall find ourselves regarding His providence flawed. This is similar to a great king who had a son at an old age, and he was very fond of him. Hence, since the day he was born, he thought of only good things for him. He collected the finest, wisest, and most precious books in the kingdom, and built him a school. He sent after the finest builders, and built palaces of pleasure. He gathered all the musicians and singers and built him concert halls. And he called the finest bakers and chefs to provide him with all the delicacies of the world. But alas, the son grew up to be a fool with no desire for education and he was blind and could not see or feel the beauty of the buildings, and he was deaf, unable to hear the poems and the music, and he was ill, permitted to eat only coarse flour bread, arising contempt and wrath. However, such a thing may happen to a flesh and blood king, but that is impossible to say about the Creator, where there cannot be any deceit. Therefore, he has prepared for us two paths of development. The first is a path of suffering, which is the conduct of development of creation from within itself. By its own nature, it is compelled to follow a way of cause and effect in varying consecutive states, which slowly develop us until we come to a resolution to choose the good and reject the bad, and to be qualified for the purpose as he desires. We don't choose the pace or the states, I don't feel, Rav said. And that path is indeed a long and painful one. And that path is indeed a long and painful one. Therefore, he has prepared for us a pleasant and gentle way, which is the path of Torah and Mitzvot, which can qualify us for a purpose painlessly and quickly. It turns out that our final aim is to be qualified for adhesion with him, for him to reside within us. That aim is a certainty, and there is no way to deviate from it, since his guidance supervises us in both paths, which are the path of suffering and the path of Torah. But looking at the actual reality, we find that his guidance comes simultaneously in both paths, which our sages refer to as the way of the earth and the way of Torah.
Not exactly in one line, not exactly in the other, but something that's kind of a mixture between them. That there is history there. There is work of people there on behalf. There's preparation on behalf of the nation. A lot of scrutinies, sufferings, problems, troubles, and all of this will influence not through the Torah and not the light, you could say. In the path, not through the path of Achishena, nor through the path of Be'ito, because these paths are not clean, so to speak. There is this mix between left and right, and right and left, but still, the difference is very different between these two paths. Is it clear what these two paths are? Are there any questions about this? Moshe, why are you asking anything? I have to guess that you want to ask. Yes.
Nothing much to ask. But okay. On the one hand, the article sounds like a beloved grandfather that tells his grandson to understand something.
Yeah, because it's written for the people and for the nation. Matan Torah, Arvut, the wisdom of Kabbalah and its essence. He wanted to make it into this kind of collection that to disseminate until he was stopped. If he wouldn't have stopped, he would have been put into prison. At that time, the local government was British, and they were already preparing a court case for him and everything.
And what would be so bad if he would go to prison?
Don't ask me, I don't know.
No, he could sit and write without any concern.
If you ask me, I don't feel a big difference how I live and being in prison. How do I have my room there that I'm in? No. But the thing is, he's not calculating for himself. I'm sure that there was a calculation what will be with his name, with his books. That's what stays. Who stays from the students? Two or three, four students. Where his wife was, said to him, look, you're a big rabbi, and how many chassids do you have? And he said, the Creator has even less than I do. That's how he used to answer her. And he's right. And he is right. He was fearful for that. He was fearful for the study of the Ten Sefirot, for the Zohar, that it will be banned. Because we saw in history what happened with such things. We saw that people were put into prison. Right? It wasn't a problem for them. And it's the same here with Bala Sulam. And that is why he was fearful for that. Look, to lose his status, well, what would he gain from that? So he closed it. He said, okay, I won't publish it. The generation isn't worthy. That's why I've been given such obstacles, and that's it. What would he achieve by doing that? Tell me. What? To publish such a book? And? No one needed it. No one needs that book. Try now and publish these articles for free. Stand at the corner of the street and try. There aren't any buyers. Buyers meaning people that would even take it for free. Understand? So he made this calculation that it's not worth it. Besides, his children, his relatives, his family, his extended family, all of that. If correction isn't achieved, then what for? For us, it's a different situation. For us, we learn. We are slightly working on dissemination, but mainly on the inside. And 90% of our work is working on our people all around the world. And let's say 10% of our strength we're giving to dissemination. But look, that too, they don't want to see or hear. And we need to make this calculation. What will you do? What? You'll shut down? They want you to cease from existing, not to stop publishing this book or that book. Our enemies want to ruin this completely, to destroy it, to burn all our books, to ruin everything, to have no memory of the wisdom of Kabbalah at all. That's it. Only the Shulchan Aruch. Just so a person will know how to do some action and mechanical actions, and that's it. Nothing about an intention, about what, about changing man, to turn man into loving thy friend, love thy friend as thyself. God forbid, anything but that. They're escaping that. They're fearful of that. And that is why we need to understand here that you are in a state that you have no choice. You mustn't give up. Give up on what? Do you understand? That is why we continue. And the more that will rise, but for him it was different. Today, you can't burn books or cut down the internet. Well, with the internet, you'll see there's going to be problems there. But as much as possible, and that's why we are preparing ourselves with different forms of defense, to not lose our archive, to not lose all of everything we have, groups all over the world, centers all over the world. It's still. And we need to make sure that each one will have their own archive, every group will have this autonomy. So if the internet falls, and we see that there are such things already in the world that can take down everything, so every group should have this database, their own database. Why are we preparing the archive? For that reason. In a few groups in America, in a few groups in Russia, in every country, they should have these databases, these archives, so they won't be dependent on the internet lines. That's the way it is. Yes.
Still, I didn't understand why Moshe Eisenberg has to get up and ask questions during the lesson. There's nothing to ask here.
I saw something disturbs you. That's why I gave you the mic. I asked a favor, okay? Yes.
A student from Israel is asking. There are states where it feels quiet, nothing is pressuring us, as if the system is expecting a reaction from us. And I learned to be afraid from those states, that if we don't bring in the correct response and the right exertion, after the silence, the quiet, comes a storm and a blow. How to react correctly to this quiet, silent part? What is a qualitative exertion?
We need to work on two levels. On the corporeal level, because the doctor has been given the permission to cure, so you should always search for the correct cure with respect to every blow that comes or can come. And most important in our work is working on the spiritual, that we between us connect and connect with the Creator. And that's actually what we need to do, that nothing will be revealed in this world on the corporeal level unless to push us to spirituality. So there is nothing to fear. And of course, there is tension because we put in a lot of work and we want to succeed in dissemination. Most important is dissemination. There it can be. But between us, only connection and adhesion to the Creator. There's nothing to fear. There's a lot of these things, they'll end up becoming good, but we shouldn't let go now. Okay, what are we doing? Where are we? About Achishena and Bito, we're finished with that? Okay.
Ah, בסדר גמור.
Guys, you're asking all the time. Go on.
We continue. The essence of religion is to develop in us the sense of recognition of evil.
What does the religion exist for? Because there wasn't religion. Religion is what Abraham invented. It came from him. Go on.
Our sages say, why should the Creator mind whether one slays at the throat or at the neck or the back of the neck? After all, the mitzvot were only given to cleanse people. And that cleansing has been thoroughly clarified in Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. But here I would like to clear up the essence of that development, which is attained through Torah and mitzvot. Bear in mind that it is the recognition of the evil within us, that engagement in mitzvot, commandments, can slowly and gradually purify those who delve in them. And the scale by which we measure the degrees of cleansing is the measurement of the recognition of the evil within us. Since man is naturally ready to repel and root out any evil from within him, in that, all people are the same. But the difference between one person and the next is only in the recognition of evil. A more developed person recognizes in himself a greater amount of evil, and hence repels and separates the evil from within to a greater extent. And the undeveloped senses in himself only a small amount of evil, and will therefore repel only a small amount of evil. As a result, he leaves all his filth within, for he does not recognize it as filth. To avoid tiring the reader, we shall clarify the general meaning of good and bad as it has been explained in Matan Torah. Evil in general is nothing more than self-love, called egoism, since it is opposite in form from the Creator, who hasn't any will to receive for himself, but only to bestow. And as we have explained in Matan Torah, pleasure and sublimity are measured by the extent of equivalence of form with the Maker. And pain and intolerance are measured by the extent of disparity of form from the Maker. Thus, egoism is loathsome and pains us as its form is opposite from the Maker. But this loathsomeness is not divided equally among all souls, but is given in varying measures. The crude, undeveloped person does not regard egoism as a bad attribute and uses it openly, without shame or restraints. He steals and murders in broad daylight wherever he finds it possible. And the somewhat more developed sense some measure of their egoism to be bad, and are at least ashamed to use it in public, to steal and to kill openly. But in secrecy, they still commit their crimes. And the even more developed feel egoism to be a loathsome thing indeed, until they cannot tolerate it within and reject it completely as much as they detect of it, until they cannot and do not want to enjoy the labor of others. Then begin to emerge in them the sparks of love for others, called altruism, which is the general attribute of goodness. And that too evolves gradually. First develops love and desire to bestow upon one's family and kin, as in the verse, "Thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh." When further developing, one's attribute of bestowal expands to all the people around him, being one's townspeople or one's nation. And so one adds until he finally develops love for the whole of humanity.
Okay, this is clear from here that he was talking to the common people. Right, this is a good development and we'll reach it and so on. What does he want to say here? Well, he delves deeper into it later on, but it's all in order to reach regular people, those who don't have deep deficiencies. Questions? Yes.
Is he speaking to the group? How a person who enters the group, the moment he begins to develop in it, and then he enters the 10, that's, you know, that's from your flesh, you will not ignore, then the group, then the humanity? Those are the three circles?
I don't know. I don't think that he meant that, no. These are things that he speaks of, love of friends, of connections, especially in his letters, especially when he turns personally to the group, to students. But such articles, no, this is for everyone, for the common people, common folk.
So how should we study this article correctly? How to draw the light from it? How to be in the intention? How to work with it?
To be included with the writer, with Baal HaSulam, who wants to bring everyone in some way the correction, the method of correction, knowledge about correction, the fact that the whole world will come to it to love thy friend gradually, just like you love each other in a family, it will be a little more in a city, in a country, in all the world, because it's in the purpose of creation. You need to understand that's how it will be. By what will it be that way? Who will teach you how to do that? How will you overcome your egos, treating your neighbors that way, that from hatred you'll transform into a state of love? That is, well, he wants to explain to them generally that the end of the world is in love thy friend as thyself. That's the most important thing. And disrespecting that is the main trouble that is in the people. Talk to anyone about love thy friend, that it's the goal. They don't recognize that. Oh yeah, I heard about it, something. Yeah, my kindergarten teacher told me that, something like that. Nothing. You've been through all these stages you went to a yeshiva. Were you really pressured to know this, to understand this, that this is the most important thing in life, that you need to do this, that you need to reach it, that you need to think about it, aim for it in all of your actions, that this is a law of the Torah? Yes? Where is that?
It's not that it wasn't there, but where I grew up, it's always about doing for others. That was the main thing. But I just didn't see a method. I looked for a method, for a place, and that's what I found here. Even from Baal HaSulam alone, I wasn't able to learn. Also from Rabash, I had to get the whole group, the complete.
Yep, there wasn't that realization, that method. Look, I went with my son when he was from in the yeshiva until the kollel, and I saw my girls. Well, girls is different, but it's still. But I didn't see that there's a special emphasis about this. Yeah, they talk about it. Also in a non-religious kindergarten, they talk about it. Maybe not like that, but yeah, with the kids they do. But I'm talking about those that, as adults, who keep the Torah and mitzvot, where is that law? Is it even is it an intention in every single action? If we're saying this is the purpose of creation, so that's the goal. I need to be aimed towards it. Now, how do I, along the path, do such things? Not even looking at what I'm doing, I'm looking at the goal. And I do something to reach the goal, to get closer and closer and closer. That's what it means to advance to the purpose of creation. And what is this purpose? Love thy friend as thyself. So am I acquiring the quality of love to someone, and here, and here, and here, like he writes, from family to country, and from country to the entire world? Am I doing that? That's called a realization. All right. Do you understand?
Ken.
Yes.
Sorry for starting this, but it's a subtle discernment for me. When I was growing up, there was a great Hasid, Mortal Peltz, and the greatness that everybody told about him was that he was the Shliach Tzibur, the messenger of the public on Yom Kippur. He would come late to the prayer, and he walked in, and he cried out to the king, and he told about him that he walked along on the way to the synagogue. He saw a woman without a husband, and she had a baby. It was cold at home. It was in the middle of Yom Kippur. Didn't think about it twice. He went to get the woods and the milk and so on.
These are chassid stories.
Yes. So I grew up on the idea that to collect money and to do it was it wasn't about Shulchan Aruch and all the customs, but to do for someone.
Right. And
on the other hand, the infrastructure, like Baal Shem Tov and all the great ones, wanted to give it, but the Creator and decided that it would not happen this way. We have to go through all these difficulties. We won't be able to realize the intentions. And from those exalted souls, we came down to such a low level.
Well, the Creator did something. I don't understand.
No, only He is to blame.
Okay, it's lack of understanding of the system. It's lack of understanding of the importance of the evil inclination. What do you mean? And the fact that you're saying that you used to, that you ran and helped everyone, all in all, you're taking care of your society. What else are you taking care of? We see that until this very day. 30 years I lived in Bnei Brak, I know. Yeah, there's all these gmachim and taking of organizations that help others, but it's only to hold on to this small society. What about the nation? What about the people? What about the rest of the things?
I grew up in a court where they spoke about, no, we're not doing this or that, but it was very external, that's what I mean. It was missing the inner soul. And the absence of the inner soul is something from above. I don't feel it. You have the books and everything, but it was missing.
But you did good deeds. You helped people. So what were you missing? What intentions?
Not to know how to work properly with two lines.
You have many books about this, many Hasid books about this. Maor v'Shemesh, the work. There are many books, many. I don't know.
They're confusing us all the time.
I understand that, but well, that's the generation, that's how it is. Once it was clearer, all of the work the Hasids did was clear to those same souls. Today, the souls are much heavier. And that is why they need further explanation, they need more guidance, they need to have closer care. They need to be organized in tens. They need to be given the method of work. That's what Baal HaSulam wanted. What, the Rabash didn't wait for the Chassids to come and learn this and realize this? Of course he did. And who was there? 5-6 elderly students from the times of Baal HaSulam. That's it. And that's how it happened. When I brought him the new students, he was, wow. Now I can write, now I can talk. I felt from him that he was just inspired. When we went to talk about during the day, then we spoke only of that. When are we going to get back to them? That was the feeling. His whole life he was waiting for someone to pass this to, and suddenly there is. At age 70, can you imagine? Even more. It was his last 10 years when the group came to him. In 75, only then he started actually teaching. How can you understand that it develops that way? It's very hard to understand that. Okay. All right, are we continuing or what are we doing? We'll read Zohar a little bit. Let's read some Zohar. But you don't have Zohar on your tables. You do? Okay, so just a little bit. All right. Mironi.
Hallelujah.